Get ready to meet the elite. Ashford Radio is on the air. Welcome to Ashford Radio, brought to you by Ashford Social Media, an exclusive membership site for today's industry leaders and tomorrow's superstars. Ashford Radio brings you experience, wisdom, and informed opinion from some of today's most influential executives and professionals. Join us on air to hear from AshfordRadio.com's most exclusive members as we learn about their interesting lives and professional passions. It's never been easier to learn from truly exceptional people than it is from the people that you hear on AshfordRadio.com.
I'm Lucy Norris, and today we are pleased to have as our guest a member of AshfordSocialMedia.com who lives an interesting life as the owner at Aisha's Kitchen. It's my pleasure to welcome to the show Aisha DeMello. Aisha, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Lucy, and thank you for the listeners.
It's such a pleasure having you on the show and hearing all about Aisha's Kitchen. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how it all came about, how you were inspired to create the home kitchen and cooking classes.
Absolutely. I was born and raised in a very traditional Indian home. I grew up with a cook, and as a child, I was always curious about Indian spices and how they worked with each other, and the outcome was magical. Over time, I was fortunate to acquire the knowledge and expertise of authentic and traditional home cooking from all across India. Of course, time went by as I grew up, and I got my undergraduate degrees in accounting and computer science, coupled with an MBA, and that's what I did in the U.S. when I left home. I took the path of a corporate career with Silicon Valley software companies in Northern California. 7 years ago, we moved to Miami, my family and myself. I'm a wife and a mother of two teenagers. And one day my husband actually came up to me and said, shortly after we moved to Miami, that one of us needs to stay home to be with the kids. And I kind of reacted right away saying, you mean me? And no way, my fame, my money, my career. I said, no way, I'm not doing that, you know. And, of course, I knew it was directed toward me. And very, very nicely he said, you know, give it 3 months. And if you still feel you want to go back to work, then that's acceptable. And I thought that was a great deal, you know. So I stayed home, and within 3 weeks, I was fully convinced I wanted to stay home and be with the kids and do everything for them and on and on and on. But before I knew it, I got a call from one of the food critics from Miami Herald, a local newspaper in Miami, who said, I heard you cook really good Indian food. And I said, well, you know, I mean, there are a lot of people who cook good Indian food. And she said, well, I'd like to write about you and write about, you know, your origin, which is where you come from in India. It's Goa. So we're originally Goans. And so I said, absolutely, anything to talk more about, you know, Indian food, Indian culture. And so out came this newspaper article, a full page about everything. And the next thing, I was inundated with phone calls and emails asking me, where's the cooking classes? Where's the restaurant? And I'm like, oh, my God, I wasn't ready for this. And before I knew it, I also was experiencing with the kids when I'd pack, you know, sometimes some Indian healthy snacks to school, the kids out there would laugh at them. And my kids would say, Mom, please don't pack this for lunch anymore. And I thought, you know what? That coupled with not very good Indian restaurants in Miami, I thought this would be a great opportunity for me to start some Indian cooking classes. So that's really how Aisha's Kitchen came about. And I started really with one menu. And today I've got 13 menus just because there are people who've come back over and over again. Again, it's not, you know, there is something very special about Aisha's Kitchen. And what I like to emphasize is the experience. So really, you know, what happened was I sensed this undeniable passion to share my knowledge of the exotic magical flavors of Indian food and the natural medicinal health benefits of Indian spices and herbs. What I like to emphasize is on the experience I like to give folks that come to my class. So it's not just, you know, here's the cooking, this is how it's done, here are some plates, paper plates, sample, and you know, no, that's not how I like to go about it. So really the way I see it is there are three aspects. There's the fun component, There is the ease of cooking unique traditional cuisine and a shared meal. So my kitchen is really not a studio-like setting or a commercial kitchen, which can get very intimidating to people. So, you know, many times I get this comment when people come to my home kitchen and say, wow, this looks just like my kitchen, you know, and right there they feel at home. Mm-hmm. And they start to take things, you know, much easier, because Indian cuisine can get very complicated. But it all depends on how it is introduced to you. So my classes, you know, and the recipes really reflect on my philosophy, which is to cook quick, easy, delicious, and healthy Indian meals that anyone can learn and cook in their own kitchen with locally available spices.
And for the listeners out there who are probably already, they're getting hungry, by the way, describing this food, they can visit Ayesha's website, which is www.ayeshakitchen.com. And you'll be able to see everything that we're talking about right now. Ayesha, you mentioned spices and how important and how they have this huge effect on Indian cooking. Tell us a bit about the different spices and how you educate the people who are coming to those cooking classes about how they can use them.
Oh, I would love to. I would love to. I just wanted to just correct the website. It's Ayesha's Kitchen with an S. So it's www.ayeshas and the word kitchen, kitchen.com.
Excellent. Thank you, Ayesha.
Thank you. So talking about spices, to me, the very keyword spice, it kindles the taste buds and brings pleasure to the mind. Spices provide a rich source of home remedies. So when I do my cooking classes, I give out a copy of my recipes to the folks. And the very first thing I do before we get started, and of course in that group are people who are new, brand new, and there are people who've been there before. So the brand new folks, you know, it's very new to them what the spices do and what they are about. And for the ones who've been there before, it's a refresher. So I to me, it's very important to understand what these spices are, because once you understand what flavors it brings to you, you can get more creative in terms of how to mix and match. Moreover, it's very important to understand which spices work well together. Some marry very well together. Others you absolutely do not mix together. So once you understand all of that, you are smooth sailing. To me, understanding spices is one part of it. The other part is that I'm very passionate about is the natural medicinal health benefits to these spices. When you think about it, spices provide a rich source of home remedies. Even with the giant progress in science, spices have no replacement. In fact, they form the basis of many medical research. So, you know, I mean, I can really spend an hour and two just on these medicinal health benefits to all of the spices that are offered with Indian cuisine, but I'll probably touch base on maybe a couple or three. One of them, which is talked about a lot more than it ever has been, is turmeric. Turmeric is a root which is ground to powder and then used in the cooking. Now, long known for its anti-inflammatory properties, recent research has revealed that turmeric is a natural wonder, providing beneficial, benefits in the treatment of many different health conditions, from cancer, particularly prostate cancer. And again, you know, I can get into more details there. For example, when you eat it with cauliflower and turmeric, it really helps to kill some of the cancer cells and stop the growth. So prostate cancer, many other cancers out there, as well as Alzheimer's. I mean, there has been statistics shown out there where Indians have the lowest level of Alzheimer's, and that attributes to a compound called curry cumin. So zillion benefits to turmeric, like I said, cancer, Alzheimer's, long known for its anti-inflammatory properties. It's great as an antiseptic externally, internally. I can go on and on. I am so passionate about what these spices do to you. The other one is curry leaves. And University of California, Los Angeles, a few years ago, had a huge medicinal breakthrough with curry leaves vis-a-vis the diabetic patients, where it helps to balance the sugar levels in the body. Curry leaves has nothing to do with curry powder. Many a times people that take my classes sit there and go, oh, so that's curry powder. And I say, no, it has nothing to do with curry powder. I mean, you can add it to a curry when you're preparing, but it has nothing to do with it. It's really, it's in the citrus family, if you want to call it. So it's got this, you know, very warm fragrance with a subtle hint of tangerine, if you want to call it. Another spice that I would love to share is asafoetida. In Hindi, it's called hing. It's very unpleasant when you smell it the first time around. And as you cook with it more and more, you start to smell, get this onion garlicky powder smell. It has nothing to do with onion garlic in terms of, you know, the properties in it, but the smell is what you get out of it. The biggest medicinal benefit is it's a natural anti-flatulent. So guess what? When we're cooking beans and other things that produce more gases, it is very important to just drop a pinch of asafoetida in the dish that you're preparing. And I've had so many people that have sent me emails very privately to tell me that, you know, their relationship with their spouse, with their partner, significant other, has gotten so much better because now they're feeding them asafoetida, you know, which is kind of funny, but it is true. It is magical what that can do to you know, the problem of flatulence. So really, to me, spices are very dear to me. You know, I mean, the fact that, you know, it kindles the taste buds and brings pleasures to the mind. I mean, all that is great. It's magical on the palate. But more importantly, one needs to understand the natural medicinal health benefits to these spices. And once you do, it's a double whammy, right? Because it's not just, you know, wow, I love the taste. It's you know, it's my best food, you know. No, now this is what it's going to do to my mind and my body both. And, you know, when you start getting into this Ayurveda cooking, you start to understand the doshas, which is basically your mind and body composition. And when you understand that, you know what foods to eat and what foods to avoid, because that is what, you know, sometimes we get very crabby, and really it's because of our body needs certain kinds of foods that it's not getting, needs certain kinds of spices that it's not getting. So.
And I love, Aisha, how what you're teaching and educating your students on is healthy. This is healthy food. We're in a society now where we're so concerned. We want to, you know, eat the right organic food. We want to get the good stuff that's right for our body. And it sounds as though not only are they learning how to cook, but they're creating food that's good for themselves as well.
Exactly.
Do you find there are, you mentioned some, but are there many common misconceptions when it comes to Indian cooking?
Yes, there are many, many, many. And I will tell you, just the demographics of my set of people that come take my classes, you know, before they were primarily Britishers and the American Caucasians and a few of the Latins. And of course, you know, if you know Miami and South Florida, I mean, it's predominantly Latins. Today, 80% of the people that take my classes are Latins. And that just fills my heart with joy because they're opening up to and getting away from the misconceptions of Indian cooking. You know, they've told me, and this is where, you know, I'm happy to see them come take my classes because, you know, you quickly, and it's not just the Latins, it's everybody in general, right? People start to feel, oh, Indian food is hot and spicy. No, I don't want to eat it. You know what? The beauty of Indian cooking is you decide how much you want to spice it up. And how much heat you want to add to your food. And to me personally, if there is too much heat and too much spices, you will never get to appreciate the flavor. So too much heat is not good. Heat, yes, will help you to reduce weight, and that's another story, and we can take it offline. But everything in moderation is very important. So Indian food does not have to be hot and spicy. It has to have the flavor, but does not have to be this hot and spicy, right? The other one is everybody, you know, there are many people who come tell me Indian food is all about curry. So while curry is certainly an important dish, you know, in our Indian cuisine, there are several other foods that are prepared that are not curry, including, you know, the grill foods that are made in these clay ovens called tandoors, right? So you have the tandoori breads, and the naans, you have the grilled chicken and the sheet kebabs and the lamb kebabs. So all that is healthy because it's grilled and it's not a curry. So it doesn't have to be floating and swimming in that sauce, you know. So that's one. The other one is people say, oh, Indian spices are hard to find, you know. And no, that's not true. And especially today with Indian cuisine becoming so popular worldwide, I mean, you can really get most of your spices in the local grocery stores. So there again, and I mean, when you think about the spices and the fact that I've talked about some of the medicinal health benefits, I would encourage everybody to try and at least eat Indian food once a week. You know, try and cook it. Take control with what you're putting into your food, because really you are what you eat. So you have to make the right choices. So you know, get all the misconceptions out. The other one is, no, but, you know, even if I find the spices, Indian cooking is too complicated. You know, like all cuisines, there are techniques that you have to learn for proper cooking. But once you learn it, many popular Indian dishes can be fixed quickly and easily. People, you know, my strength, one of my strengths is, of course, to create recipes that are very easy to follow. But the other one is I can take the most complicated recipes that grandmas used to make and come up with these recipes that, you know, you and I, you know, especially people who've never done Indian cooking, can take it back home and be able to make it, because the processes and the steps that I create are so, I mean, they're not intimidating at all. They're absolutely simple. So that is the key. Yes, Indian cooking can be complicated if you want to make it complicated. But really, it is not, once you understand, you know, the basic techniques, once you understand what these spices are about. And I think last but not the least, really, to me is, you know, some people say, I've had them in Indian restaurants, you know, and I don't like Indian food. Again, you know, it's another factor that influences popular perception, you know, where people's exposure to Indian cuisine is just restaurants, right, which oftentimes is not authentic.
Right.
So traditional Indian cooking covers a wide range of tastes and offers so much more healthier fare.
And I love as well, Aisha, how you do this in your home kitchen. I've done cooking classes before where it's been in a commercialized space, which can be very overwhelming. And it's also sometimes you think as a student, but this is not how my kitchen looks. This is not how I will go back and prepare my food, because this is just completely different to the way that I normally cook in my kitchen. So I think that's also great that we have that familiarity when you go to the classes that you offer. You learn all about those spices. You actually taste something that's authentic rather than what you said, commercialized, and you get that full flavor along with the health benefits. So this is just one big, huge plus right now. And Aisha, we're going to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to be talking more about Indian cooking, about regional Indian cooking, and about the different menus that you offer at your classes. I'm Lucy Norris, and my guest today is Aisha DeMello. You're listening to Ashford Radio, and we'll be back right after these messages.
Leadership means influencing others towards shared outcomes for maximum results and productivity. Kirk Sturm has been improving public entities since 1992 with the Sturm Group. He can put you in the forefront of success and assist you with goal-setting workshops, implementing new programs, more efficient internal communications and priorities, mentoring and coaching, and establishing public trust. For more information, visit thesturmgroup.com.
My name is Sue Smith. I'm 38 and I work at a graphic design company. And the teenage me would tell you,
I wouldn't be into drawing and art if it wasn't for big brothers, big sisters. My big sister showed me early on that I could do anything. And to the young me,
that meant a lot. My big sister's name is Sheila, and Sheila is the reason that this 8-year-old grows up to have an amazing job as a graphic designer.
Whether you donate money or time, you're helping big brothers, big sisters help a child. Start something today at bigbrothersbigsisters.org. Brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
And this year's Top Business Professional Executive Award goes to Paul Peterson.
Thank you. Thank you. First, allow me to thank a man who gave me the most important piece of advice in my professional career. The man who told me, it's all in who you know. Second, I'd like to thank Ashford Social Media for connecting me with so many of you leaders and business professionals. I'd like to thank Ashford Social Media for their features, like video profiles, for press releases, and for Ashford Publishing Radio.
It's all in who you know. Go to AshfordSocialMedia.com today to become a member. Connect with all of our elite members like Paul Peterson.
AshfordSocialMedia.com allows me to network with executives and professionals.
Go to AshfordSocialMedia.com and see what it means to be a member. Join today and you can get your first month free. Go to AshfordSocialMedia.com today. And remember, it's all in who you know.
And we're back. This is Ashford Radio. I'm Lucy Norris, and my guest today is Aisha DeMello. And listeners, you can visit Aisha's website, because as I said before, her talking about all of this food, I'm sure is making us very hungry. You can go to www.aishaskitchen.com, spelled AYESHASKITCHEN.com. Aisha, before the break, you were talking about some common misconceptions about Indian cooking. How different does Indian cooking vary when you're talking about the different regions in the country?
Well, with Indian cuisine, you know, depending on the state you come from, you know, the foods differ. And of course, you know, we don't get into pre-processed foods. You know, everything is basically prepared based on the local ingredients that are available. So, you know, you'll see a lot of fresh vegetables and fruits and meats and fish, you know, that are available locally. So depending on where you live, it is very regional. Like, for example, you know, if you're from the northern part of India, and again, it's also affected by the climate. So you know, in the northern part of India, it tends to be cooler versus the southern part where it's a lot more heat. And so, of course, the foods kind of dictate based on the climate. So the northern part of India, you'd find more of the dairy creams and nuts that are used to enrich the sauces. You'll have a lot of the Mughalai and the Punjabi foods that are very popular. You know, the Mughalai food is rich and creamy. The Punjabi foods are known for its tandoori cooking, like I talked about in the clay ovens,
mm-hmm.
Where you grill all the meats and the breads and the vegetables. And really, the Punjabi food, you know, it's known as the bread box of India for the enormous variety of leavened, which is naan breads, and the unleavened breads, which are rotis, that are found there. That is the northern part. Why? Because you have a lot of wheat that grows out there. The eastern part of India is famous for cooking in mustard oil. Why? Because mustard grows extensively in those areas. Similarly, they are proud of the rice they grow. So, of course, you're going to see a lot of you know, dishes made with rice cooked in mustard oil. Also, since they have the Bay of Bengal out there in the eastern part of India, you have a lot of fish. So another part that you're going to see which dominates their cuisine in the eastern part is fish. So it's fish, you know, rice cooked in mustard oil. You know, when you start to understand what part of India you know you're talking about, you quickly will realize, you know, what foods dominate. Like if you're from the southern part of India, it's all coastal, and you have a lot of coconut palms there. So of course, coconut milk is used to enrich sauces. You also have a lot of fish and shellfish. A lot of fiery chilies are grown throughout this region, so the food is a lot more spicy and has a lot of heat to it. If you look at the vegetarian part of it, there is something called dosas, which I recently introduced in a new class this season, my fall season, which is basically crepes, but the crepes are made with lentils and rice. It is one of my absolute favorite dishes. You can take the same batter and make little rice cakes, and they call idlis. So all that comes from the southern part of India, which again, rice, coconut, all, you know, the fiery hot chilies, the curry leaves that I talked about, all of that dominates that part. You go to the western part of India, and of course, the state of Gujarat, which is where I was born and raised, and Maharashtra, which is the northern state from where we live, the southern part of where I come from, has developed an excellent repertoire of vegetarian dishes. So we use a lot of fresh vegetables, lentils, peas, beans, and dairy products. So to the south of Mumbai is the state of Goa, which is where I originally come from. My you know, grandparents are from Goa, so I am a Goan, where the lure of Indian spices brought Portuguese traders who colonized the area. So the most popular dish there, really known outside of India, is vindaloo. You know, of course, the staple food is fish curry and rice, again, being on the coast. So both sweets and savories are made of coconut, as it is available and plentiful, being on the coastal area. So really, to recap, if you start to understand, the northern part, you'll find the creamier and the heavier dishes, of course, because it's colder out there. And if you look at the southern part, it's a lot more hot. And so you tend to eat the spicier foods to sweat, which then cools you down.
Excellent. I'm learning so much from listening to you, Aisha, and it's great to have you on the show just to give us that sort of background, that knowledge, which I think it excites us to want to learn more and to want to learn how to cook these amazing dishes that you're describing. So the listeners out there who are interested, they want to take your cooking classes. What sort of cooking classes do you have coming up over the next few months? What's the schedule look like? And how many people do you have in a class?
Well, generally I take 10 people in a class. And the reason I do not want to expand it is because I don't want it to be a classroom style setup. I want it to be, you know, where we're all kind of cozily sitting together and making it less intimidating, because the minute it's a bigger group, you have, you know, different sets of people that come in, and some may be a little more, you know, wanting to jump up and do things, and others may not. And so I just want to make sure that, you know, everybody, this is like one big happy family. We're all sitting in the kitchen together. Oftentimes, I even forget. I mean, we have such a blast. You know, the chemistry is fantastic because the people that come here, we're pulling in foodies that have the same wants and desires. So we have such a blast. I completely forget at times that I'm even holding a cooking class, you know. And I got to pull myself back, steer myself back and say, okay, you're doing a class, and, you know, settle down. But we really have a great time. And again, like I said, there are times where generally I have a mix of people that are new and people that have taken my classes before. And, of course, the people that have taken the classes before, you know, have so much to talk about the classes that they break the ice and get the new people right in with them. And so, you know, like I'd mentioned earlier, I started with one menu. Today I've got 13 different menus. So, for example, I've got menus that range from, you know, vegetarian to vegan to breads. And again, all about Indian breads. We do stuffed breads, parathas, naans, and this is all 100% hands-on. For the bread class, we do the meats, which is chicken, lamb. I also do a seafood class, which there's a delicious shrimp coconut curry that I teach. We do masala fish fry. And really, all of these menus are completely different from each other. You know, I take a lot of time to craft these the menus, so that they're very, they're very balanced. The odd time I'll have someone come in and say, so, you know, how many calories in this dish? And really, I don't count calories. What I do focus on is a well-balanced diet. Mm-hmm. So I'm not big into just a protein-based diet. I want to make sure that it's a well-balanced diet, which means you've got your proteins, your carbs, your fats, your fiber. Everything has to be in there. So when you look at a typical class that I offer, I mean, like I said, 13 different classes. Today I've introduced two more. So as of last season, there were 11. This season I've introduced a lamb class. So we're doing a lamb Rogan Josh. So this Saturday, in fact, is my premier class. I call it This Is It, and it's lamb Rogan Josh, lamb kebabs. We do a bhindi masala, on and on and on. And then the other class I introduced was the South Indian class, wherein I talked a little earlier about the crepes. You know, it's all hands-on. So everybody's making, you know, we make the batter, everyone's making the crepes, so we're making the filling, putting it in, making a delicious coconut chutney. So it's on and on and on, right? But if you think about what these classes offer, it starts from an appetizer to a main course to a side dish to a salad, bread, rice, and it finishes off with a delicious dessert. And every menu is different. And that's the reason why people really come in taking classes over and over again, because the menu is different, the processes are different, the spices are different. Some may overlap, because, of course, turmeric and cumin and coriander are common, but there are many other spices that may not be used all the time in all the dishes.
Excellent. Aisha, we're coming to the end of the show, and I want to make sure that the listeners have your details. So if they're interested in taking classes with you, how do they go about contacting you?
Well, they will have to go to my website, which is www.aishaskitchen.com, and I'll spell it to you. It's A-Y-E-S-H-A-S, kitchen, KITCHEN.com. They will go to my schedule on the website. It says class schedule. Click on that. Look at the classes, upcoming classes. They will have to contact me via email, which is contact us on the website, or they can call me, and there's a phone number under contact us. And I will check for availability. Classes do fill up quickly. I have a very, you know, limited number of people I can take, and the seating is limited. So of course, it fills very quickly, but, you know, the classes are very popular. So they will have to go to my website, check on the class schedule, contact me. I will let them know for availability, and, of course, they'll have to pay in advance before they come take a class.
Excellent. Thank you so much, for Aisha, for joining us today.
My pleasure, Lucy.
You've been listening to Ashford Radio with my special guest, Aisha DeMello. Ashford Radio can be found online at ashfordradio.com. The archive of this and other Ashford Radio shows are available there, and they're also available on iTunes. Look for them as well on the exclusive membership site, ashfordsocialmedia.com. This is Lucy Norris thanking everyone for joining us today and wishing you all the best.